What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's the range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing them in closer, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
Yes, this is our opportunity to talk with some of our local military commanding officers. It's a sequence we call Know Your Tenant Command, because, you know, my idea was that people know that the NAS Pensacola has something to do with training pilots, and there's a golf course, and there's a museum, and there's a lighthouse, and there's a cemetery, and beyond that, people don't know a lot. Even I don't know a lot, and I wanted to get you to understand what our local military operations include, and they are massive in size and scale and scope. Joining us this morning, we have United States Navy Captain Kimberly, goes by Kim Toon. She is the commanding officer of NMOTSI, the Navy Medicine Operational Training Command, based on NAS Pensacola. Captain Toon, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Good to be here.
Great to have you. Now, we should put a little asterisk because you were the commanding officer. You just recently had a change of command, and you're actually heading out to a whole new command where you're going to be going very soon. You're in the process of moving, of all things. You're going to be the surgeon for Commander Task Force 80. But until very recently, you were the CO, and I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about that operation. So, fourth tour in Pensacola. You've been a student in four of the six detachments overseen by your command, a former chief medical officer for a carrier. I think you're a plank owner on both the new Ford and the George W. Bush. Is that right?
I'm a plank owner on Ford. I did the maiden deployment on Bush. So I took Bush on deployment the first time, but not a plank owner.
Outstanding. 27 years in the Navy. And we were talking yesterday a little bit. You have actually flown 27 different airframes, not as a pilot, but you do have your wings and you have been in those planes, right?
That is correct. I do have some stick time in some of the aircraft that's able to do that. I have three shipboard landings on a ship that's no longer in commission, the USS O'Bannon, that I think is, I think we sold to the Canadians for some training, but that's how old I am. But yeah.
Oh, that's good. So I didn't know that too. That's fantastic. And you were the XO on the United States Navy ship Comfort, which, now, was that during COVID or was that after COVID?
It was just after the COVID mission. So I took over just after they got back from New York. And then I cross-decked over to Mercy, to the U.S. Naval Hospital ship Mercy, and went on their deployment in the Pacific in the summer of 22, doing some stuff out there in Vietnam, Guadalcanal, Palau, and the Philippines.
So she is a real, like, she has been doing this a long time. She knows what she's doing. And this is a command that, frankly, I didn't even know we had on the base, which is why I want to talk to you about it. And also, it's not a little one. It's an enormous operation that you oversee. So tell folks what NMOTSI is all about.
So Navy Medicine Operational Training Command, NMOTSI. So think of it like if you're providing medical care for the Navy, but not necessarily in a hospital. So if you're doing medical care for aviation, submarines, on the surface ships with marine recon, you are probably gotten your training through Navy Medicine Operational Training Command. That also includes if you're an aviator and you've ever gone through your physiology training, including the Dunker, you've been trained by NMOTSI, because all of that is within NMOTSI. So I like to joke, and you can't see it on the radio, it doesn't play, but my command is all the way, or was all the way from Whidbey Island, Washington to Jacksonville, Florida, Groton, Connecticut to San Diego, with three different time zones, 19 different training sites, 6 different detachments, and about a little over 750 people.
And every year, and I think that 750, like, think about a company that employs 750 people. She's the commanding officer or the COO for that company, okay, as a captain. How many students come through your training programs, or when you were the CEO, come through NMOTC's training programs every year?
NMOTC trains a little over 18,000 students a year. A big bulk of that, about 14,000 of that, is the aviators. So aviators have to go through their physiology training once every 4 years. And so a quarter of naval aviation goes through NMOTC every year. And then over 4 years, you've trained all of naval, all of naval aviation. And then about 4,000 operational medicine students, including independent duty corpsmen, medical officers. So if you're going to be a medical officer of any sort to support aviation, whether it be a physician, an optometrist, a psychologist, a physiologist, a physician assistant, you'll be trained actually here in Pensacola at the Naval Aerospace Medical Institute, or NAMI.
It's an enormous, like, when I think about this, I always think in terms of UWFs, you know, try to get you a sense of scale. The University of West Florida enrolls 14,000 students every year, and you teach, train, equip, over the course of the 6 detachments on your 19, I think you said, locations, 18,000 students every single year. So every year you turn over about 30% more than the entire enrolled population at UWF. I mean, this is a big operation. We're talking to Kim Toon, Captain Kim Toon. She is the just recently commanding officer of the Navy Medicine Operational Training Command. I think people will find it entertaining if you're willing to, I mean, I assume you would, but I didn't ask your permission in advance. Because you have wings, you have a call sign, and your call sign, I think, is kind of funny.
It is. So my last name is Toon, so my call sign is Looney. it makes perfect sense. So my husband and I have been married now for 26 years, and it's his last name too. And I took his last name. And, when I married him, I was like, this is perfect.
Had the call sign first?
No, I had, I got his name, but then, but having a name like that, I was already in the Navy. So I was already in the Navy, kind of knew what I was going to do. And so when I married him and his last name was Toon, that's not why I had married him, but it worked out very well, to be able to do that, and have the name Looney Toon. Like, when we met, he introduced himself Mike Toon, as in name that.
All right.
So you can do so much with a last name like Toon.
And by the way, I want to focus obviously on the command, but just so people understand, because sometimes it's useful to understand who runs the Navy. You know, who are these people? You're kind of a reverse of the normal family, because your husband takes care of the household and takes care of he had a career, but he's now a stay at home, and so you're the one, like, you guys are moving for your new command, but he's not even in the military, and you guys kind of have a little bit of a reverse relationship of what you often see in the military, right?
That is absolutely true. So I joke that I've been married to the Navy 1 year longer than I've been married to him. So he knew what he was getting into.
Right.
So we met when I was in medical school and he was in grad school at the University of Florida. And so he worked in event management. When we got transferred overseas to Okinawa, he realized that there wasn't really much for him to do there. So he became a stay-at-home dad. Our daughter was 4 at the time. She's now 23 and off in grad school studying to be a physical therapist, and he has managed our household ever since. The deployment I spoke of earlier, where I went to the Pacific in 22, that was sort of a last minute deployment, and talking about moving, so the last time we moved, he had to do all of the arranging, all of the packing, come down here and buy a house for us, all while I was on a ship somewhere in the Pacific. So he did the lion's share of all of that to make sure I could be successful. I joke all the time that, you know, I get to park in the fancy spots as a Navy captain in 06. I can park in the 06 parking spots, and my husband parks in them too, because there's no way I could do this job without him.
Oh, that's great. No, it's wonderful. I wanted to talk about, obviously, let's get people some information on some of the detachments, some of the subordinate operational elements of NMOTC. One of them, and this is, I know this is not the biggest one, but it's the one that I found the most kind of captivating and interesting. It's NUMMI. And tell people what NUMMI is and what it does, because it's such a fascinating slice of why the Navy has an operation like NMOTC.
Yes, so NUMMI is the Naval Undersea Medical Institute. It's up in Groton, Connecticut. Up in Groton, they train the submarine IDC. So if you're going to be an independent duty corpsman, so think a corpsman, you're out of high school, you go to core school for 6 months, and then you'll go and be in the fleet for a couple of years. You apply to independent duty corpsman school. Independent duty corpsman school is 51 weeks, so it's almost an entire year, and you're taught how to be a medical provider alone and unafraid on a submarine under the ocean for 3 months. So up at NUMMI, we train those sub IDCs. We also train radiation health officers. So the Navy Nuclear Propulsion Program, safest, amazing program within the Navy, the radiation health officers and the radiation health technicians that monitor the occupational health of all of our nuclear workers also train up at NUMMI to make sure that they know how to do the right calculations, what it is that we're supposed to be tracking, what are the health concerns that we need to be looking for. I was a student up there for the radiation health indoctrination, so the two carriers I were on were nuclear power carriers, so making sure that we have the care that we need for those folks that are working in the reactor to keep them safe as they do their job for the Navy. That is the great thing. NUMMI also, interestingly enough, we train international students up there. So if you think about it, is a center of excellence, not just for the United States Navy, but for the world. So anyone who has any of our joint partner nations who have submarines, they will send their medical officers to NUMMI for training as well.
Oh. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And the idea, like, it's underwater, but obviously the nuclear reactors on board the carriers, people sometimes forget about, you know, the nuclear reactors and the subs, or at least, you know, don't think about the nuclear elements that might be related to the subs. And that's why I thought it was fascinating, because that's a part of, like, all the different parts of the Navy operations that you don't think need to be taught and trained, and then this is one that we do here in Pensacola, or at least oversee here in Pensacola. NAMI, the Naval Aerospace Medical Institute, one of the oldest operations since the 40s, I think, right?
Yes.
And what does that do?
So NAMI, any aviator really cringes at the word NAMI, because NAMI is where your physical, so if you're going into naval aviation, they are air medical qualifications. So if you want to be an aviator, your flight physical is submitted to or done by NAMI. And they make sure that folks are safe to fly. So to make sure that your vision meets the standards, that you don't have any health conditions that would make you unsafe in the aircraft, or that the aircraft would make it unsafe for your health condition. So that kind of goes both ways. Either your health condition could make the aircraft environment unsafe, or the aircraft environment makes your health condition unsafe for long-term life and health concerns. NAMI does that. They do waivers. So some of those health concerns that we want to look at, but not necessarily make you disqualified. NAMI processes about 5,000 waivers every year for folks in naval aviation. So if they have a new medical condition, such as me, I have two ACL reconstructions because my ACLs needed to be reconstructed, and they wanted to make sure I was still safe to get in the aircraft, fly, and safely egress, get out in case there was an aircraft a mishap. I have waivers for my surgeries. So just that's the same thing around NAMI. Most importantly, I think, trains flight surgeons, like we talked about, the air medical officers. So flight surgeons, if you're going to be a physician for naval aviation, a PA, optometrist, psychologist, you go through NAMI for training. And the physiologists that run the Dunker actually will do their initial training in NAMI. The aviation medical technicians, so the folks that help us do flight physicals that maintain those standards, the corpsmen, as well as the corpsmen who run the Dunkers and do all of the physiology training, they all train through NAMI. Their NAMI also has a graduate medical education program, which I'm a graduate of, the aerospace medicine residency. So with that residency, you get a master's in public health. You mentioned UWF's earlier. It's actually joint with UWF. You get your master's in public health from UWF while you're training at NAMI to be a specialist in aerospace medicine. And that is, think of making sure that your health isn't affected by the environment. You have blood pressure. I'm going to treat your blood pressure with a medication that makes it safe for you to continue to fly. Those kind of things. And then Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say this. So I want to give you some perspective on this. We have talked about two of the six detachments. We haven't even gotten to talking about the Naval Survival Training Institute, NESTI, with the Dunkers, the NEMT, the Naval Expeditionary Medical Training Institute, which is think like MASH units for the Navy, where they're working without brick and mortar. SWAMI, which is the Surface Warfare Medical Institute, and SAMI, the Naval Special Operations Medical Institute. I mean, we just, like, there's so much. And I knew we would run out of time before we got to it all, but I just wanted to, you know, we talk so much about the maintainers, and they maintain the aircraft, but we also have to have the doctors and the flight surgeons and the medical that take care of the pilots or work on the ships and provide what they provide. It's just... it's outstanding. Captain Toon, we are completely out of time, but Kim Toon, the just recently NMOTSI commanding officer, thank you so much for your service in the Navy, and thanks for the time this morning explaining what that tenant command is all about.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, and thank you for your support to our Navy.
Absolutely.